It's Thursday, September 12th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show 889, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our September GoDaddy special, customers get 32% off their new order at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code GO32OFF1, or just get a .com for $1.99. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Folks, Voyager's left the building. Let's launch this, baby. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, or Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I'm glad you're here with us today. Got a great show lined up for you, and I tell you, lots to cover. I mean, it's been a pretty crazy week here at Geek News Central, of course, everything else that I got involved with. But we'll cover some of that here in just a second. But for all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And glad you guys are tuned in and got a great, I mean, the content tonight is just off the hook. So we've got a lot to get through. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on superfluous stuff tonight. Of course, there I go, destroying the English language right off the beginning of the show. But we want to encourage all of you that are brand new to the show, come on over to geeknewscentral.com. And check out the website. You'll find a place to subscribe to the show right in the second column of the website. It's real easy to do via iTunes or via an RSS feed that you may be using with a podcatcher on your Android, iPhone, Windows phone, whatever it may be. And, of course, you can just come to the website as well. You can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV as well. And we've got a newsletter on the website as well. The newsletter is really my way to communicate with you. I send out all the links to all the articles I talk about. That goes right out immediately following the show. And we also have all of the actual show notes up on a separate website at gncshownotes.com/889 is the place to go to get today's show information once the show has been posted. Not if you're watching live. And we're up on YouTube tonight, streaming live. I tell you, it's been, that service is working fabulously. It really, really is. Great quality. I've not had any problems so far, knock on wood. We have a couple other services and backup that we use. And we also, from time to time, you know, experiment with some other stuff. Hey, you know, one thing I did just before I started the show, I saw one of my computers needed an update. So I said, oh, I'll go ahead and update. So the Mac has been like, said 10 minutes ago, we're almost done and it's still working. So the computer I normally use to monitor the chat room is currently, I think, in the final stages of rebooting. So I should be up in the chat room here in just a few moments. But if you want to reach out to the show, it's real easy to do. You can contact me on Twitter via at Geek News is my Twitter handle. And of course, you can contact us contact me on email at geeknews@gmail.com and the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Oftentimes people ask me, what are you looking at, Todd, when you're not looking at the camera, you're looking around. What I've got going on here in the studio, and I'll try to do a little bit of a visual tour for those of you that are listening. To my immediate left and behind me is the two machines we use for when I have guests in on the new media show. They come in to via Skype video, and we patch them in the system. I change the camera angles a little bit. To my immediate left is the machine that does the master audio recording of the show. Then a little bit forward is the TriCaster interface. Talk about what we're going to be doing there in a few minutes. Right directly in front of me, just to the left, is where I put up screenshots, just like this one right here. and have that basically being mirrored on the live stream that's going out. And then directly in front of me is all the content that I have for tonight's show. And just to my immediate right then is the computer I use to monitor the IRC chat room. Someday we'll move that behind, but I haven't talked my lovely wife into allowing me to put a television monitor back there. She says, I've already got this room trying to, you know, this is part of my, the studio is part of my house. So it has to, you know, retain a minor semblance of a room. And, but anyway, a good chance with that, with the amount of stuff that's in here. People just come in here and their jaw drops, but that's kind of what's going on here. And there's a lot of stuff that you can't see. That's underneath the tables and so forth. But lots going on. I tell you, the we're you know, I'm already starting planning for CES, and today I got to looking at the calendar. I'm like, man, I got to get busy. So we got a lot to do between now and January. So I'll be talking about more of that, about that here in the near future. But tonight's show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And they put together some great deals this month, primarily that $1.99.com. I mean, you just cannot beat that. $1.99 for a .com. And as Jean-Claude Van Damme says, kick your business up a notch. And $1.99 for a .com. And we've got it so you can really get through the checkout process easily. So definitely check out the link on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. And you'll find a banner there you can click through. Don't forget, you can use my promo code as well. And you can find all of my promo codes real easily by, you just come over to the website and you scroll down and you're going to find the link to the GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that and that'll get you into the page that has all the codes. So that $1.99 promo code can be attained by using the promo code 199GEEKS, G-E-E-K-S, and a 32% off your new order at GoDaddy.com, promo code GO32OFF1. We have a code there really for every occasion. So check the page out. Use the code that best suits you for saving the most amount of money. Sometimes you can even really make an impact by not doing everything under one order. Do two orders. If you order some .coms or do some renewals, buy a new product, you know, you can get better discounts by mixing up and looking to see how the codes match up on what you may be buying over there. But GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. We want to thank them for being on board. GeekNewsCentral.com itself is hosted on a GoDaddy server, a dedicated server that that is, man, it's been rock solid, knock on wood. You know, it's been a fantastic box for a number of years. And I do a lot of business with GoDaddy for domain names. So it's a product I stand behind. And I'm really appreciative of what they're doing right now and changing the focus, changing their business, getting rid of the jiggle and moving into a more business-like atmosphere, becoming more really open to serving a segment of a audience that may not have been served before, and that is taking care of the ladies and making sure that the ladies feel welcome over on the website. So I applaud what they have done with their recent changes. And I'm looking over here to the right because I'm getting the Mac that was not booted up, getting it ready. There we go. And now we're ready to come up into the chat room here in a minute. So get that up and running. But anyway, thanks to GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. And check out all my promo codes, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go to save a lot of cash. Okay. I can't think and do two things at the same time here. So let me go down my list. Here in Hawaii, over the past, man, We got trades back, and then the trade winds disappeared. Today was probably the most muggy day that I've experienced in Hawaii in years. It was literally like, use a knife to, it felt like a Florida midsummer day. Oh, it was just brutal. And we knew the trades was coming back tonight, and it's finally starting. The humidity's starting to come down, and I'm very thankful because it's been, just been ugh. And that happens once in a while around here. So we're back back to getting the temperature down and getting the humidity down. So I'm very, very pleased that that's actually happening. This coming Saturday, we'll have on New Media Show, we'll have Chase Jarvis. And he was supposed to be on a prior show, but missed the actual interview due to a late arriving international flight. So he's going to be on. Of course, he is the creator and founder behind CreativeLive.com. So Chase will be on with us starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time this coming Saturday. So we hope that you'll jump on that and be involved. Also, we're going to be we're looking for folks that want to help us during the podcast awards. Folks that want to do podcast nomination reviews. I need 44 total people that are going to be coming on and supporting us. So we hope that you'll consider becoming a reviewer. All you have to do is send an email and let me know. Now, one thing that I am considering, and I've considered this in the past, so I'm really looking for some feedback, and I almost decided to implement it tonight, but I thought I would wait. Really, what I'm going to try to do is to initiate a special fund drive for the fourth quarter of this year. As you guys know, really, this show is all about giving you as much information as possible in the tech space. And we've been getting some donations in recently via check. I definitely appreciate that. The folks are sending in, and people are becoming insiders as well and supporting the show on a monthly basis. But I'm thinking about doing a special fund drive for the next quarter. I haven't set a goal amount yet. I have a number in mind. And what it really is going to do, it's going to help basically carry us into CES. The amount of money that is costing us to do CES has increased every year considerably. And even though we've had sponsors in the past, the outlay is usually very, very large. And so I'm trying to come up with a way to kind of help bankroll that a little bit. And I'm thinking that you guys, they're the recipients of a lot of the content that we create at CES, of course, recipients of the content I do in here in the show, might consider helping us out in this special fund drive. So I'm still kind of kicking that around in my brain. I don't really want to do a Kickstarter because, you know, if you Kickstarter, we will take any donation we can get. But when you do a Kickstarter, if you don't reach a certain goal, you don't get any of the money. And we definitely could use the cash to help us with some additional things we want to do this year. So think about that and provide me some feedback if you would. Getting a sponsor has always been a challenge. It's always come down to like the ninth hour. I just don't understand why the sponsors are always happy. We go back and it's, you know, budgets are always tight. And we end up usually talking to someone mid-December and they finally, you know, come in on board. But I'd like to get things wrapped up a lot sooner this year. And I'm thinking with the special fund drive, maybe that'll take a little bit of the pressure off. But I'd love to hear your feedback on that. If you think it's a dumb idea, let me know. But we really are considering it. And what we like to do is set a base level that people would donate at too, so that we would say, here's the level that we're looking for from folks that are going to contribute. And if we get X number of people, it really makes a huge, huge difference. Okay, so let me go ahead and wrap this up here. We'll get into the content. I mean, I have a stack. It's been a huge week. I had so much stuff in the browser as I was getting ready to do the show that I couldn't even see like the little logos. And I've got a pretty big monitor here in front of me. And it was too much. So I had to cut out, I mean, a whole bunch of stuff, which really kind of bothers me. I don't like to do that in the show prep. It's one of those things that I don't care to do because some of the news was so good tonight and I just had to get rid of it though because it was just, we'd have been here 3 hours. But the first thing I want to talk about was the biggest news of the day is what happened in the announcement with Voyager. Voyager, folks, has left the building. official announcement from NASA that Voyager 1 spacecraft road to interstellar space has happened. And this is pretty big news. Scientists announced today that Voyager 1 left the solar system on August of 2012. And I think, why are we hearing this now, a year later? But after 35 years of spaceflight, making it the first craft to ever reach interstellar space. Now, they didn't have a complete confirmation until recently. So they now feel very, very confident that that Voyager is now beyond the heliosphere and is basically in interstellar space. And they had some audio from their ion detector that they basically finally kind of cinched the deal for them. Now, the magnetic waves are still kind of screwing with them a little bit, but Voyager's out there. And it's from the distance, if you want to just imagine, from Earth to the sun is one astronomical unit, okay? So Voyager is 94 astronomical units, AUs, outbound. That's how far out it is. And, of course, Voyager's been heading outbound for a number of years, actually 35 total years of spaceflight. But this makes it the first craft to get out that far. And Voyager 2, it's got a little different of a trajectory, so it's still heading out. Pioneer 10, Pioneer 11, this is huge. So, you know, I think this is fantastic that they're still getting information back from the spacecraft, and I'm excited to see if, you know, what else they can hear. I know it probably would not be anything to look at, but I think Voyager ought to send us a picture back, don't you guys? it's probably just black. And it's probably not much different than, you know, but send us a picture back. I think it would be really, really cool. So that was a big, big news here, and it has left our solar system. And, to think that something that launched in 1977, and many of you that probably listen to the show weren't even alive in 1977, but, you know, it reached termination shock. We've been talking about this since 2004. And, but boy, oh boy, this is big. So, yep, Voyager has left the building. Now, I'm sure many of you want to hear about my thoughts on the Apple announcement, and I'm going to spend some time on that. But, one thing that did pop to the top of my list today was it's official that Twitter is taking its first steps towards an initial public offering. And so they basically have confidentially submitted an S-1 to the SEC for a planned IPO. It's going to be handled by Morgan Stanley, or JP Morgan, excuse me. And company is apparently, because of the secret filing, what's one of the things that is a requirement is it cannot be a secret filing if they make more than a billion or bring in more than $1 billion a year. So that's pretty interesting in itself. So we'll see where this goes, but just like any other IPO, most of us paupers are not going to be able to get access to, you know, any of that paper unless you know somebody. So would you buy, if you had a chance, would you jump in on the IPO and grab up some of the stock from Twitter? I'd really love to hear if you would. I'm still remain a little bit skeptical on essentially what Twitter's future revenue earnings capabilities are. I could be wrong, but we'll see. Now, the Apple announcement, I guess we'll talk about the announcement first. The announcement to me was pretty underwhelming. Okay, went to a 64-bit processor. Okay. Better camera. Okay. A little bigger battery and a fingerprint thing where you can actually use your fingerprint to unlock the phone. And then they brought on some multicolored phones that are designed for definitely not my market space. but probably my 17-year-old would be interested in a pink or a green or blue phone. So, you know, I thought, okay, that was kind of big whoop. Nothing really exciting there. Nothing to really jump up and down about. And, you know, I really have not been paying attention to the iOS 7 development because it's, you knew it was coming. You knew it was out there. You knew that they were going to update it and, they're going to a flat design. And, I'm not against flat design. You know, you look at what we did over at Blueberry with flat design. And, we made a, our new website design was pretty flat. And, I understand it's a trend. But when I really started to take a close look at the new iOS 7, I'm probably going to take a lot of heat for this, but the design really made me want to go out and pick up an Android. I was very underwhelmed by the design. And those of you that are watching, I took this screenshot right off of Apple's website. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, those are not pretty icons. That is not, to me, it just smells cheap. And a buddy of mine says, it looks like something he would buy one of his kids from Toys R Us. And my initial reaction was the interface looks kind of cartoony, like a cartoon, and it just, to me, the new iOS 7 smells cheap. Now, I brought Anna. Anna has, has been begging for a while for an iPhone, and she has a Droid right now. And I brought her in and I said, okay, here's the new iPhones. The new colors, not necessarily the new, because there's nothing new inside. The colored ones or the 5C are essentially the same thing that is in the current 5. So she looked at the screenshots and she said that the interface looked like crap. She's like, ugh. So why is this flat design? Why is it so popular? Have you guys really looked at the iOS? I think this is my prediction. As soon as this gets pushed to users, they're going to get this. And I think there's going to be hell to pay because I think the majority of people, and here I am, I'm a techie and I haven't been paying attention to this. All right. I just been kind of, cruising here. Right. And so I start looking at this and I'm like, ugh. And maybe I'm alone in my thought process here on this, but I don't know if I want to upgrade. Probably won't have much choice. I'll have to do the upgrade. But I guess you don't have to, but it's probably smart to do so. But I just don't know. And I guess maybe with a different background it won't look so bad. But these, these flat icons, to me, is like going backwards. Why were bevels and why was depth of field and why was vibrant colors and everything else that goes along with, the current interface, why was that a bad thing? I think they're just going to have huge, huge pushback. To me, it and the font looks like junk. Maybe I'm wrong. Over on the Atlantic Wire, there was a comment made by Hartmut Essinger, and he's basically, he worked directly with Steve Jobs, established design language we used on the Macintosh line of computers for over a decade. And he says that Apple's no longer innovative. Says that the man who helped Steve Jobs, this is basically what he said. He said they've lost their edge. And I have to agree with what the Register says. The Register says iPhone 5s. Apple, you're boring us to death. A lot of innovation in the camera. Okay. All right. I'm sure the Instagrammers are going to love it. But I don't know. I just, more and more, every time I see a Samsung Galaxy, I'm like, you know, I start to drool, you know, and, it's basically got last year's technology starting $100 lower. The pricing is, you know, okay, not that much of a big difference. I guess they're cute in their, you know, in their little back shells that they have with the holes drilled in them. I don't know. I don't know. You know, their pitch on the 5S, it's faster, of course, because they're getting 64-bit. They're calling it desktop caliber performance, which is probably true because they've gone 64-bit. It's got that motion coprocessor, so the video stuff that you do will be better. You know, so, you know, the camera, we can't deny, is seriously upgraded. The slow motion video will be fun. The burst mode is going to be awesome as well, I'm sure. But come on, you know, and with this iOS 7, I think we're going forward and going backwards at the same time. So you guys kind of get my opinion here. I'm not overly impressed. I'd love to really hear what you guys think on this thing. Now, Jeffrey did a great article, Jeffrey Powers did, on the Apple M7 coprocessor. What is it? What it does? And talks about the speed and everything that goes along with it. So, you know, if you want some information on the processor, that's available on the website. The folks over at Samsung, so they've got a 64-bit processor planned as well. So this is, you know, this is not going to be, you know, Apple's not going to be on their own here. You're obviously going to get some new apps with the new phone. They're making that default. But overall, you know, I'm pretty underwhelmed. And I don't know. I was expecting more. And we'll have an iPad event next month, I'm sure. And they're talking about some sort of anti-glare technology, maybe making it into the iPad, which would be a welcome, It'd be welcome on all devices. Yeah, I've been using my device a lot, a variety of devices a lot outside lately. You guys can see I've been getting a little sun. I think I'm going to get the lights up a little too high tonight. Been getting a little sun, so it's, you know, it's being outside, it's hard to see those screens when you're underneath direct sunlight. So I'd like to see some anti-glare stuff built in, but anyway, we'll see where this leads. But, you know, the worry is now, though, that the fingerprint ID, if you use the fingerprint to unlock your phone, it may mean you can't take the fifth, yes, if you're into legal issues. Because technically, self-incrimination protects you from what's in your mind. It doesn't protect you from unlocking a lockbox. It may protect you from giving someone the combination to a safe, because that's in your brain. It's not a physical, you know, you have to punch something in that's derived from your brain. So, you know, the privilege against self-incrimination is important. Check on the government's ability to collect evidence directly from a witness. And the Supreme Court has made it clear that the Fifth Amendment broadly applies not only during a criminal prosecution, but also to any other proceeding, civil or criminal, formal or informal, where answers may tend to incriminate us. But a fingerprint is something tangible. It can be used to unlock, just like a key can. So this, I'm sure, will be tested at some point. But the folks at Wired are a little bit worried that this form of unlocking your phone may end up impacting people a lot more than it should. Now, one thing I did see, and I'll have to admit, is that calendar for iOS, the new calendar 5, is pretty slick. It's really nice. They've done a nice job with that particular application. It's something that I use a lot. My wife uses a lot. We both are you know, basically calendar junkies and to keep each other on our on schedule here with the kids and everything else, you can intermix personal and business, put it all in the same timeline and so forth. So I'm looking forward to seeing this particular update, you know, alone may be worth it. But again, Calendar 5 for iOS, it's pretty nice. I saw this over on imore.com. So we'll see where this leads. All right, this next article, I want to get off this Apple kick here, and let's talk a little bit about a great article over that's over on Ars Technica. And a reporter talks what it was like working with Snowden. One of the journalists entrusted with former national security contractor Edward Snowden's vast trove of documents sent an interview on Wednesday that it's important to remember what the famed leaker could have done but didn't. What he could have done is he could have put them up all on WikiLeaks. But instead, he gave the documents to only three journalists. Those journalists are Gelman in the duel of Laura Petraeus and Glenn Greenwald, both of The Guardian. And what he had said is he wanted them, those reporters, to use their own judgment and make sure that his bias was kept out of it so that they could make their own judgment about what was newsworthy and important for the public to know. And he said that we should also consider how to avoid harm. So this is an interesting write-up here. And talks about, you know, the direct discussions that he had with those reporters and how that he wanted the data handled. So it's a very interesting write-up here. But one thing I did find interesting in one comment, he says the world of journalism was foreign to him, Gelman added. He had been a spy all of his professional life. He didn't understand the rules under which we operated. So here's the thing. He says he was a spy all of his life. So what else did he get? You know, that to me is, you know, I thought this was a one-time thing, but apparently not. And so I thought this was kind of curious. So anyway, interesting write-up over in Ars Technica about the reporter / Snowden relationship. All right, how Chromecast works, you guys know you just hand off to your Chromecast from your mobile device, from your computer and so forth. But Roku is said to be adding what it's called dial support for Chromecast, like multi-screen functionality. Chromecast uses a kind of a version of dial. This is pretty exciting here with them adding the dial support, the dial protocol to its devices in the near future. So we're going to get this expanded second screen support on the Roku. So pretty cool. And I don't know how they're going to implement it, but the folks over at Roku will figure this out, and I'm sure it'll be pretty slick. All right. You guys remember that we launched a spacecraft called Juno a while back? Well, matter of fact, it launched a little over 2 years ago, August 5th, 2011, launched from an Atlas rocket. Basically, it's Jupiter bound. So, but Juno's getting a gravity assist here from the good old planet Earth in a few weeks. So what's going to happen is on October 9th, the flyby will occur at 1921 Universal Time, which is 3:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings. Spacecraft will pass 559 kilometers over South Atlantic to a point 200 kilometers off the southeastern coast of South Africa at latitude 34.2 south and a longitude of 34 east. That's about 25% higher than the International Space Station orbits an average of 415 kilometers above the Earth. The ISS is also at 108.5 meters, so makes it a little easier to see. So they don't think the people are going to be able to see it, but it's got a gravity assist, and we'll put it on its final, basically its halfway mark to Jupiter, and for an arrival there in 2016. So it's kind of crazy on how we have to get space, you know, basically, you know, you got to have a little bit of a push to get the satellite there on time and in the right direction and so forth. So pretty cool. Hey, Facebook is going to do something I think is bad. Facebook's going to begin to autoplay videos that you put in its or on your timeline as it gears up for video ads. So basically, this is only going to be on mobile apps. So as you scroll through your timeline and someone's video is there, what they're going to do, as soon as you come across that, they're going to autoplay it. And this is, from a podcaster standpoint, this is bad because it's like having autoplay turned on a website. Those aren't accurate advertisable deliverable counts. It doesn't work that way. You can't count something that is on autoplay. So I'm sure a lot of you are going to be pissed because, you know, you're going to be looking at your Facebook feed in a restaurant or, you know, wherever you may be, and you may not have the audio turned down, and then somebody's video is going to start. I think this is dumb. So we'll see where this goes, but I just don't think this is a good idea by the folks at Facebook, but it's all about the money. They got to make some money, so this is how they're going to accomplish that, is that they are going to essentially force you to watch someone's video and an ad that's been dropped in there. All right, Microsoft is doing something very interesting. They're launching an iPad trade-in promotion. So trade in your iPad, get a minimum $200 gift card. According to the deal outlined on Microsoft online store site, the gift card may be used towards the purchase of a Microsoft Surface or other product available through the Microsoft Store. The deal kicked off on September 5th and runs through October 27, 2013. The qualifying trade-in devices are gently used iPad 2, 3s, or 4s. I've got some iPad 1 here that we could trade in. So this is an interesting move here. And Microsoft is basically trying to get some of you to jump on the Surface bandwagon by giving you up to $200 in credits by trading in an iPad. So it might be something, if you are considering it, good way to save some cash. Over at paleoffuture.gizmodo.com, there's 47 futuristic jobs that we are all supposed to have by now. So there was a lot of speculation made in 1982. The book Omni Future Almanac took a stab at what job market of the future might look like. And here's what they thought might be some of the jobs that were going to be available in 2013. So, chirogenics laboratory assistant, laser beam operator, holographic designer, mutation expert, artificial intelligence scientist, genetic engineering salesperson, space traffic control officer, aerospace designer, simulation specialist, clone doctor and clone nurse, teleconferencing coordinator, automatic factory security, organic computer engineer, hybrid airship operator. That one might actually come close to being true. A debugging specialist, digitizer technician, a maser specialist, silicon mining expert, space geographer, fiber optics technician. Well, that is definitely one that's available. Voice activated computer repair person. I think we get that right now from some of the support calls we make overseas. A computer museum director, technology transfer monitor, remote nursing technician, sports engineer, biological historian, software coding experts. I think that's obviously available. Abstract writer, I think that's good. Space shuttle repair person, magnetic train developer. So it just goes on and on and on. So those were some of the jobs that they figured out, expected in 1982 to be available in 2013. So just thought I would share that with you. Just a little trivia information here. I don't think those jobs fit very many job descriptions that are actually going on today. Article is put up by Jeffrey on Geek News Central is about GoGo Wi-Fi plans for 60 megabits per second in air wireless with ground to orbit. It's called GTO. So GoGo In-Flight Wireless, which is a leader in in-flight connectivity, announced a new program called Ground to Orbit. This combines satellite feeds with GoGo's air-to-ground Wi-Fi capabilities. The Adelaide satellites would basically download content while air-to-ground sends up your HTTP requests, emails, uploads, and more. Virgin America will be the first to offer this new hybrid service starting in 2014. So they're saying now that this will be taking this peak speed of 60 megs per second. I've yet to fly on any flight that's had any of this internet service before. So A few months ago, the FCC approved a new spectrum for Wi-Fi in aircraft. So basically switching the Wi-Fi spectrum to the 14 to 14.5 gigahertz range is pretty high. It's up there a ways in the spectrum. There was new Chromebooks that had been announced. The Chrome blog announced that new Chromebooks from Acer, from Asus, from HP and Toshiba were on their way. They're expected to arrive in the next few months. The new Chromebooks are part of the Intel Haswell chipset rather than the current ARM processor, and the chip's lower power consumption will double the battery life. The new Chromebooks are roughly the third iteration of the laptops, and really this is pretty cool that they've got some additional parties here that are coming out, and they expect them to cost around $300 and come in a range of colors and sizes. And so we'll see. We'll see where this was. Jeffrey wrote this particular article on a Chromebook, so we'll see where this update leads and how many more people will jump to it. With NSA basically looking everything in the cloud, I don't know if people want to be using Chromebooks or not, but they're going to be available nonetheless. Final article over on Geek News Central. This was an article wrote by Jen talking about Vimeo. Vimeo has come up with a very interesting way to support video creators called On Demand. The purpose is to help video creators sell their films and episodic series by providing them with a way to monetize their work. Vimeo is offering a 90-10 split of revenue. The video creator would get 90% after transaction fees. Vimeo will cover all the delivery costs. So that's pretty cool. So you can sell your video on Vimeo. So I wonder, I've always thought about doing a series, a podcast instruction series. And that might be a way to do that, to put them up on Vimeo, make them available on demand, and buy them as individuals or as a set. Might be something really to look into. As a reminder here, you can call the hotline 619-342-7365 and leave a message. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews and direct message me or at me and just let me know what's up, what's on your mind. Of course, you can reach me on Facebook as well and on Google Plus. Hey, the Senate Committee has passed a media shield bill. And but they're still trying to figure out who qualifies as a journalist. So Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat in New York, basically has had to add new language attempting to remove even a hair of a doubt that either WikiLeaks or someone like Manning could be have been considered a journalist. Even so, the bill never passed the original committee, but now with this new bill, they've added a whole bunch of language to really kind of make it up to the judge is going to have to decide if the person qualifies, and you almost have to be paid. And there's all kinds of these new rules that are being applied. Basically, if you're paid to write, I think you're safe. But if you're just a blogger and you write for free, but then again, if you're getting paid, if your site pays you, and I don't know, that's, again, there's a lot of gray area there. And they've had a hard time defining that. They really, really have. All right. How many of you have some kids that are a little bit, how we should say it, conspiracy theorist types? A teenager had dropped $33,000 to buy the historic WikiLeaks server. But the bad thing was he used his dad's eBay account. A 17-year-old basically bid up over 10 days this server to $33,000. And he wanted this server in a bad way. Obviously, when he won the the bidding, his dad got the bill and said, He says, my son is 17-year-old and is crazy about conspiracy theory. He says, we're not paying it. Someone else can, the secondary guy can ask for it. But I'm sure there's probably going to end up being a probably a resell of this, re-auction of this server. I don't know if it's got the hard drives in it or not. Oh, it says after it's got to use the host WikiLeaks treasure trove of secret documents. So I'm not sure that I would want that server to be purchased, because if it actually has content on it, about the time you get it in your house, about the time your door is probably going to get kicked in. All right, all of you have heard the song YMCA, right? Well, there's a big copyright battle going on. And we talked about this many times about the issue of termination rights and copyright. Under the Copyright Act that went into effect in 1978, artists have a termination right to basically take back their copyright from whoever they assigned it to 35 years after the works were created. Artists cannot contract that right away. So basically what they tried to prevent was record labels holding a copyright on a song forever. So there's a variety of legal fights going on over this. But one of those, Village People's Victor Wills, who initially scored an initial victory last year, is fighting with the record label, and he feels he's finally got the upper hand. And basically, he's going to say, hey, who can and cannot perform the YMCA song, and may tell the band that's currently playing it, the current Village People group, that they can't sing that classic song. But anyway, we'll see where this goes. I'm sure he still makes a lot of money on that song. Or the record label did. So if he reassigns it, the cash would come to him. So, kind of interesting to see an artist take back, his actual copyright, 35 years after the release of YMCA. It's been 35 years. Oh man, you really know how old you are when you're like, has it really been that long? Gosh. And fellas, how many of you have suffering from rearview mirror syndrome? Have I told you guys about this before? So this is for the fellows. Ladies, and don't take offense, okay? So, just guys, you're driving down the street and you see a cute girl walking on the sidewalk, and you're thinking in your mind, yeah, I should pull over and talk to her, right? And you kind of look sideways as you drive by, you slow down, and then you kind of look up in your mirror to see who's behind you, to make sure that you can pull over and stop, and you see your reflection in the mirror and you say to yourself, hey buddy, who are you kidding? And that's the rearview mirror syndrome. So when you hit that age when you're on the other side of the coin, don't take this the wrong way, but I always laugh. That is kind of when guys always have this wake up call when it's like, you're not all that anymore. You know, you're not the player you used to be. You might, in your mind, you might be, but you're not. And, so anyway, how did I go down that road? But anyway, long story short, 35 years since YMCA has been released. All right, switching gears up here, a judge has basically had enough, and he's told everyone in the Georgia Prenda case, a state of Georgia, that would you all just please be quiet, and he basically said motions 21, 25, 26, 30, 32, 60, 61, 62, 63, 68, 72, 74, 75, 66, 78, 79, and 80, all about just about the same thing, and he has basically enjoined both groups. They can't submit any more motions, and at some point in the future when he has time, he'll schedule a hearing. He's got more important things to do right now, so this is kind of more Prenda news. Boy, and that's what lawyers do. A lawyer will bury someone in paperwork, and that's why lawyer fees just continue to rise and rise and rise. There's a question on a website on Techter asking, what convinced President Obama to change his position on NSA surveillance? And I'm not even going to read the article. I'm going to leave it to you guys. I'm just going to give you my definition, my thought process. When he was elected and he went through a security clearance process, and when he started getting everyday daily briefings about what was really happening in the world, he had this moment where he said, oh man, we can't shut any of this down. That's all it was. It's nothing. There was no, there's nothing involved. He got to see the truth. So of course he says, oh yeah, this is good stuff. Got to keep it coming, right? That's why. This is not, This is not anything that's, you know, difficult to figure out why the president changed his position. He got to see the real deal. Oh, man. All right. Marissa Myers at Yahoo said that it's hard for companies to say no when the NSA comes calling. He brought a court order, and you're a company within the United States. To disobey that court order, you're going to be in a lot of hot water. You know, sanctions, jail time. It's not going to be good. She actually said releasing classified information is treason. It generally lands you incarcerated, she said, clearly uncomfortable with the turn of the conversation that was going on. Well, that's true. If you release classified information, you are going to be held accountable, and it could end up you being in a cell by yourself, not being able to talk to anyone for the next 30 years. And so they kind of talk about the whole process. And, you know, companies are between a rock and a hard place. You know, they have to comply, or, you know, the big hand of Uncle Sam comes slamming down, and it's probably not good. All right, Michael Dell is going to buy Dell Incorporated. After shareholder vote, Michael Dell is expected to buy out and take Dell private. So the final buyout price was $13.75 a share, which includes a 13 cents a share special dividend. All told, puts the deal at $24.9 billion. And to reach this point, Dell and Silver Lake had to fend off an activist investor, Carl Icahn, an investment firm, Southeastern Asset Management, which made their own combined play for a restructured capitalization. So we'll see where Dell takes the soon-to-be private Dell. Verizon, boy, oh, boy, they've turned evil here. InfoWorld's Bill Snyder writes of Verizon's plan to charge websites for carrying their packets. We talked a little bit about this on the last show, but this is a strategy. If it wins, will be the end of the internet as we know it. Think of the things that tick you off about cable TV, along with brainless programming and crummy customer service. The very worst aspects of it is forced bundling. Now imagine that the internet worked that way. We'd all hate it, of course, but that's the direction that Verizon, with the support of many wired and wireless carriers, would like to push the web. This is not hypothetical. The country's number one carrier is fighting in court to end the FCC's policy of net neutrality. So I encourage you, please, to read both these articles that I have linked up, the one at InfoWorld and one over at PC World, and be vocal, you know. And I hope that, you know, if it does turn out that Verizon wins this, that you all vote with your feet and leave them as a customer, especially if they start, you know, arm twisting companies. You guys hear about the flying frog? The flying frog was caught on a camera at NASA's moon rocket launch. They had a variety of cameras all over the launch site, and apparently this frog was in the wrong place at the right time. And as the picture was snapped, you can clearly see a frog that either is heading towards orbit, jumped so high that he was scared. But anyway, the camera caught this great picture, and who knows? But one thing's for sure, if he survived, he had some serious bragging rights with his fellow frogs. A pretty cool picture. Made the rounds. I'm sure you all saw it. All right. Apple's OS 10 Mountain Lion 10.8.5 update. The latest update promises to squash more bugs and comes as Apple's gearing up to release the next major version of its operating system. This free update came out last week and brings a handful of bug fixes and security patches. So fixes an issue that may prevent mail from displaying messages, improves some Wi-Fi stuff. Improves reliability when transferring large files over internet, does stuff on Open Directory. So it's probably most stuff that you guys won't pay attention to, but be aware that's out there. In more science news, NASA's Hubble may have found clues to dark matter. The telescope has found a star cluster that could give scientists info about the galaxy origins. So scientists estimate there are about 160,000 star clusters swarming like bees in the center of a giant grouping of galaxies called Abel 1689. And so they've been able to determine some stuff from Hubble looking at this area. I'll have the link up in the show notes here. Going into it too deep is going to make my brain hurt. But the elusive dark matter that they are after is something that's basically the holy grail in science right now, space science. And it's obviously this very mysterious and very elusive that is supposedly make up a quarter of the universe. So it's out there. Anyway, I'll link up it in the show notes. I guess it's now possible to wirelessly stream 4K video. I don't know why anyone would want to do that. But with up to four times the resolution of today's 1080p, two companies teamed up to demonstrate that even that the additional data they were able to wirelessly stream over 4K from a laptop to a monitor is possible. Willow City, a developer of a 60 megahertz multi-gigabit wireless chipset, and DisplayLink, a provider of USB graphics technology, demonstrated wireless gigabit-enabled 4K graphics and video at the Intel Developers Forum in San Francisco. The link will be up in the show notes on that. The folks at DisplayLink have always done some pretty cool stuff. Also, those of you that are using Outlook.com, Microsoft has added or is going to add IMAP support to it after many, many people have complained. So be aware that that is forthcoming. Also, if you are a VIP on Twitter and you have basically been verified, Twitter is going to make it easier for you to filter out only people that have been verified to look in your Twitter stream with people that you follow and at you and so forth. So they're trying to give the rich and famous a little bit of a advantage over the rest of us paupers out there, okay? Hey, how many of you live in Salt Lake City or I think where else? Austin, Texas? McDonald's is preparing to enter the brave new world of mobile payments. And I guess you're going to be able to pay for your food with your phone. Okay. How come you just don't use a credit card? But I guess it's cheaper, faster, lower transaction fees. So if you live in Austin or you live in Salt Lake City, you can pay for your McDonald's with your mobile phone. Article over on BBC talked about a little bit about it earlier. Samsung is backing, basically saying that they're going to be coming with a 64-bit processor as well. And so that's pretty cool. But the folks at Samsung said that the Android operating system would need to be updated before Samsung Galaxy devices could take advantage of a shift to 64. So we'll see where that leads. And, of course, a lot of incompatible apps as well. So there's going to be a lot of movement in this space over time. We'll keep an eye out. How many of you been to a movie theater and seen the or heard Dolby? Basically, they take the sound around the room and they put up the big Dolby logo. Well, audio pioneer Ray Dolby has died at age 80. Ray Dolby, the U.S. engineer, founded Dolby Laboratories and pioneered noise reduction in audio recording, has died in San Francisco at the age of 80. He had suffered from Alzheimer's disease for several years and was diagnosed with leukemia this summer. And Dolby Laboratories has done some incredible things, and Ray Dolby was a true visionary. So Ampex was one. As a matter of fact, I've got some Ampex gear back here that's not even hooked up anymore that we used to use in the system. Ampex was a pretty big in audio space too. But anyway, long story short, Ray Dolby dead at the age of 80. Security of Java is taking front lines again. The security of Oracle's Java software framework is really being impacted heavily. There's lots of folks that are going after this. There's an uptick in attacks targeting vulnerabilities that will never be patched and increasingly sophisticated exploits. The most visible sign is the wild attacks exploiting unpatched vulnerabilities in Java version 6. We know that there's been some stuff, some security patches issued for Java 7, but there's a large pool of users will never be protected with security fixes, and so they really are viable for targets of attack. Some Trojans out there and so forth, so it's not good. So be careful on what you've got turned on with Java, okay, and what you allow to run, Make sure it's a very, very, very trusted website. Good op-ed on Ars Technica talking about how patent trolls doom themselves by targeting Main Street. And what's been going on in Vermont could be a case study for the rest of the states out there and how to protect small businesses and large ones alike from patent trolls. And the law they put in place in Vermont was really good, and it has stifled some of the actions that have been taken on there. Might be a consideration for companies to file their businesses in Vermont. How many of you still have a typewriter somewhere? Well, Manson Whitlock, typewriter repairman, they feel the last one of his kind, died at 96. From the early 1930s until shortly before his death last month, Mr. Whitlock at his shop in New Haven carried for instruments, specifically typewriters. Over time, he fixed more than 300,000 typewriters. So if you have a broken typewriter, you're going to have to look hard to find a repairman. A Soyuz has returned from the National Space Station. A spacecraft touched down in Kazakhstan on Wednesday, returning to Earth three ISS crew members after 166 days in space. The Soyuz TMA-08M spacecraft landed in the steep southeast of Dzhagazan, Kazakhstan. the Soyuz returned Earth American astronaut Chris Cassidy and Russian cosmonauts Pavel Vindogrov and Alexander Misurkin. So, anyway, they're back safe and sound. How many of you are looking for a car with lots of USB ports and power outlets? Well, the 2015 Chevy Suburban is the only car with six USB ports and six power outlets. Hey, that will make a serious ingress machine. But too bad I'm not buying Chevy. Hey, if you were shopping for airline flights this morning, there was an error on the United Airlines website, and a lot of folks got free fares. We'll see if they honor them, but there was a bug in the system, and people were booking trips to Hawaii and to Vegas and all over the place for $0. So I wish I'd heard about it. I'd have booked some flights out of here. That's going to wrap it up for today's show from as far as content goes. So I told you I had a lot to go through, and boy, I tell you, even cut some more while we were blasting through stuff tonight. And I think I've got some emails to get into. So let me open up good old Thunderbird here. And oops, and get this pulled over into the right window. Hey, guys in the chat room, Dale, Spitballs, guys, thanks for being here tonight. Let's see here. Dun, 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 dun. Let me see here. I got an email from Deb. Deb says, hey, Todd. And this is about people who can't read from show 888. She says, I absolutely am seeing the issues where people don't read your whole email. If it's more than a paragraph, or if there's a conversation trail in an email and you say, see below for so-and-so's response. I feel like I'm constantly reiterating things from email to email. However, your age observation doesn't seem to hold true for me. It's all across the age spectrum. What I do is fine is that if people read their emails on their phones, that they have this problem most often. It's like it's a lot of scrolling on a phone, and chances are if you're looking at it on a phone, you're somewhere doing something else as well, probably like driving. So I think it's distracted email reading. And now this email is longer than 140 characters, and I don't want to lose you. Loving the show. Thanks, Deb. Thanks for listening, Deb. And yeah, I think that I don't see it as much from older people. But what I do notice is sometimes people don't do a reply all, and then they add, or they do a reply all. They don't have the entire email chain on it or the entire discussion. And I'm like, half the discussion is lost. And I have to say, can you resend me the rest of the email? Got an email here from Christopher. He says, hey Todd, is there an IKEA in Hawaii? Perhaps you should provide instructions the way IKEA does. See examples below. So let me bring this up. Oh, you know, we don't have an IKEA here. Thank goodness. I think their furniture is probably some of the worst. But anyway, yeah, IKEA. And how they tell them to put in. Yeah, that's good. Give them pictures, right? Funny. Show them what type. And they need a screwdriver, need a hammer. shows what peg goes into what hole, how to pick stuff up, what the end result was going to be. Very, very cool. So, although I probably need some of those too, because sometimes I get, my wife buys those kits and then you're like, I hate them. I really do. It's like, it's the worst thing to see come through the door. Fellas and ladies, don't you agree? Don't you hate those? I would, you know, if I go to a store and I see something I like, I want to buy it. I want it delivered. I want it brought to my house. I don't want to put it together. But so oftentimes, we don't put it together. If you do, it's $100. You know, you're like, and believe me, sometimes it's worth paying them the $100 to put it together. But, you know, I'm sure 100 years ago, if people would have seen furniture come in boxes, they would just about lost their minds. But you know, those kits are, you know, they are what they are, and definitely bulk produced and made in China and everything else. I think this one was, I think I already covered this email. Yes, I did. So only two emails, a pretty short email this go around. So, hey, if you got comments on today's show, I know you're going to have some on the iPhone release. Let me know what you think. Do you think iOS 7 looks like a cartoon or something you'd buy at Toys R Us? Or are you a hipster and slash fanboy and hate what I have to say? Love to hear from you. I really would. And as I talked about in the beginning of the show, let me know what you think about my fundraiser thoughts. And if you guys would be willing to participate in a one-time or maybe a quarterly fundraising thing. And I hate to do it because it's such a pain to have to beg for money. It sucks. But to keep this show rolling, and not necessarily this show, but to keep things going, moving forward with what we want to do in the new year, need just to have a little more revenue coming in. And that's where we've been thinking about this. And the insider stuff is fantastic. I want to appreciate it. Also, I want to make a comment, Paul. I want to thank you for your contribution. I don't know if I thank you on the last show. Nan, I know you resent a check. So do you want me to shred, let me look here, 1830? Do you want me to do that? If you do, just let me know. I'll shred that, no issue. And I've got 1838 here. So let me know, Nan, if you want me to shred 1830. And thanks for resending that out with Podcast Connect on the Pay 2 line. GeekNewsCenter.com/insider. Everyone, thanks for supporting the show. And you can get started for 6.7 cents a day. So we hope we're worth more than a cup of coffee. And we hope we're worth more than $2. But $2 is fine. $5 is better. $10, $15, and $25 is great. And if you want to leave me your inheritance, that's even better. But I'm just kidding. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And thanks for supporting the show. And I understand times are tight. And if you can't afford it, it's okay as well. We don't want you to put yourself at risk. But thanks for being here. And I tell you, it's a pleasure to bring the show. We'll have a great show on Saturday. For those of you that are interested in the new media show, we'll have that up and available at 9 a.m. starting live Pacific time. And then I'll be back with you here in the studio in Honolulu on Monday for another great show of Geek News Central. Hope you liked our show today, and definitely appreciate any feedback. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.